Welcome back to the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Well, in case you haven't figured it out already, that's a TJ song.
Yes, it is, and he's dancing.
We've been on the air, what, about 2 months
See you later, listeners.
Thank God I've never seen you dance.
So by now, I think people will pretty much understand.
Hannah asked me to go dance so many times.
Wow, he's single.
Hannah's just like made a as far as motion you know. Like she was vomiting.
Oh, I know.
Who's the best dancer on this show that's not Hannah?
You're black, so let's start there.
Whoa!
Daddy,
he's talking to Jeremy Macklin.
Eric, Gabe's on the line. Let's just go.
TJ, TJ, this is Black History Month.
Gabe just hung up. Gabe just hung up.
Wow, I wouldn't be surprised. Gabe DeArmond, PowerMizzou.com, Rivals.com is on the Ryan Kelly phone line. Gabe, I'm sorry you have to be a part of this program. But
Gabe, were you surprised by that comment?
You know what, guys? All 12 people that were listening before now just turned it off.
Whoa! Hey now! You're a guest here. Yeah, should be taking shots at our listenership.
Hey, Gabe just made the list. He's the first guest to make the list.
Gabe, this Mizzou class, I was looking at Rivals. They're saying right now 46. Obviously, yeah. The talent level in the state was not quite as high this year as it's been in other years, so that has some effect. But given what was realistically in play for Mizzou, how do you think they did judging it by that standard?
I mean, they filled some needs. They did well. They got a lot of defensive linemen, especially defensive tackles, and they're waiting on one more that still could sign really at any point, a kid named Malik Young out of Eastern Arizona. Did well there, did well in the secondary. You know, they missed some guys. Obviously, had a couple guys decommit. They missed some offensive linemen in the state. It was okay. Recruiting rankings, and I'm sure TJ has his own feelings on them, they're not great. They miss on a lot of individual kids. Gary Pinkel spent about 15 years making them look really stupid. But it's generally not a good practice to try to outperform recruiting rankings, because when they come to the overall picture and teams, I think they're generally pretty accurate. Like, look, you can go to bowl games if you're recruiting at a number 46 in the country level every year. You cannot win anything meaningful in the SEC at that every year. And, you know, people will say Gary Pinkel did. He outperformed recruiting rankings, but his better recruiting classes were like 21, 25, 29. That's where Missouri needs to live. They're never going to be top 15 on a consistent basis, but they need to be top 25 or on the edge of it, I think, rather than 46.
Let's talk about the state of Missouri, because it looks like the only recruit they're going to get out of the state is Deron Davis, the wide receiver from Kansas City. They missed out. Again, not a great year for recruiting in the state. Everybody can agree on that. But they lost a couple of kids in the St. Louis area to Illinois. They lost a couple of kids just over the border into Eastern St. Louis. What do you think they did in-state versus what they need to do going forward to get back to that level?
Well, yeah, they only offered six guys in the state. And to give you an idea, they've already, more than a year before next signing day, offered 10 in 2018. They need to identify kids sooner, and that's not really anything wrong with what Barry Odom did. Look, how soon could he identify him? He got the job a year ago. You know, but I'm talking, you've got to offer kids as sophomores a lot of times now. And they've done some of that in 2019 and even 2020. So you've got to get in on those guys sooner. You know, Marquise Hayes, he's going to Oklahoma. I mean, Missouri's going to lose a lot of recruiting battles to Oklahoma. I think the Jafar Armstrong's going to Notre Dame, even though technically he's a Kansas guy. He lived in Missouri but played football in Kansas. But Tony Adams and Larry Boyd to Illinois hurt. Tony Adams in particular really came out of the blue. Everybody I talked to thought he was going to end up at Missouri. That was a surprise. So, you know, the talent is down, but you've got to be better than one out of six. I've always said, I think if you can get half, you're doing really well, because with Missouri, you're not going into Texas and Florida and Tennessee and getting five-star kids and four-star kids. It's not going to happen. So your four- and five-star kids have to be the Sheldon Richardsons, the Jeremy Macklins, the Blaine Gabberts, the Doriel Green Beckhams that are in your state that you have a connection to, and then you've got to go get the kids like they did with Aubrey Miller, Jamal Brooks, kids like that in this class that maybe their home state schools don't have room for or just don't evaluate as quite good enough.
How big of a problem is Lovie Smith going to be? I look at Illinois' overall ranking, not that great at 45, but obviously they took a couple kids that Mizzou probably would like to have.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I mean, they did get Boyd and Adams, obviously, but look, they didn't. Everybody was panicked that they were going to all of a sudden find the entire East St. Louis team, and that didn't happen. They didn't get Estes or Jeff Thomas. We're going to find out in 2018 because St. Louis is, and Damani Cross and Barry Odom both said it today. Jeremy Crabtree tweeted it yesterday. I've been covering recruiting for 15 years. I've never seen the state of Missouri this good, and especially St. Louis. So we'll find out. If Lovie Smith goes and gets a couple of those kids, then I think it's a concern. But if Missouri gets two or three kids and then, hey, two or three of them are going to some of the national powerhouses and Illinois doesn't get any of them, then I think all of this is a little bit premature to worry about. Illinois has been down. Lovie Smith is certainly a respected coach, you know, but let's see a couple years in what the record is and what he's doing on the recruiting trail.
Gabe, you've covered every inch of this class and been following this for years. You've heard Odom speak today, and I'm sure somebody at some point has asked him the question. You signed one Missouri kid, as you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's a sense of concern among the coaches right now that this is really bad timing for this type of class of 2018 Missouri high school class to be coming through?
No, the sense I get is that, look, almost none of these kids are going to decide very early. I think they're all going to go past their senior years in high school because, I mean, you're talking about, I'll just rattle off the schools I know have offered kids out of St. Louis: Alabama, USC, Ohio State, Miami, Michigan, Penn State. It's everybody.
Wow.
Washington, I think, has.
How many kids is this, Gabe? Like, how many kids are getting those type of offers?
We're talking about, let me see, Ronnie Perkins, Trevor Trout, Cameron Babb, and Michael Thompson are the big four. Those guys are getting coast-to-coast offers. Now, Dallas Cradius has a good number of offers. Cameron Brown has more, not those-level offers, but I mean like Illinois, Indiana, Missouri. And those six kids are all from St. Louis. So, yeah, it's not great timing, obviously, but they're going to have the 2017 season to prove to these kids. And I never want to put too much weight on 1 year, but I don't think you can overstate the importance of the next 12 months for Barry Odom, because a class like this doesn't come around in Missouri really ever. I mean, I asked Damani Cross the last time he remembered it, and he said when he graduated into high school in like 1992 or 93, there were 30 Division I players in Missouri. So it's been at least that long, you know, since they've had a class like this. So Missouri's got to go out and win some games. I think they've got to win 7 or 8. And if they do that, I think they can keep some of these kids home. But look, if they go 4-8 again, and there's a mass, and look, if they go 4-8, these kids are all leaving. None of them are coming for three straight losing seasons. So if they go 4-8 and all these kids leave the state, whenever it happens, you're going to look back and say, that's where it went wrong for Odom at Missouri.
Gabe, what's the strength of one guy maybe committing? Now, a lot of people always say, how do you let that top guy go? How do you let that 4 or 5 star guy go? And it's not really that simple of a proposition to say, but what if that top guy in the city goes? What's the domino effect there where other peers of his in town could follow
him? I've heard you talk about this quite a bit, Gabe. You used to talk about Andrew Jones like that.
Yeah, sometimes it depends on the kid. Phil Pressey was like that in basketball. Good players want to play with other good players. So if one guy, and all these guys are friends, and they've talked about it. Now, the reality is those 7 or those 6, and there's already 3 guys from Kansas City with major offers, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Missouri, schools like that. So all the kids in St. Louis, are they going to get them all? Probably not. It's not realistic that all 6 of them are probably going to go to the same place. But if they could get one to jump, you know, it would probably lead to a couple others, and it would lead to some momentum. But again, I just don't think any of these kids are going to make early decisions. I mean, Trevor Trout's been on the radar for 1.5 years and has told us, look, I'm going to decide after my senior year. Cameron Babb has 28 offers. He's not going to decide in May, in all likelihood. Now, I know Ezekiel Elliott did. Sometimes kids like that do, but I'd be really surprised. So I think they're probably going to have to wait. If there was somebody that you thought could jump early, maybe Ronnie Perkins could, because his brother is a starter on Missouri's team. I think that would be big for him. Trout's probably the most vocal guy who would be the cheerleader to bring the rest of them on, but I just don't see it happening before these kids see what Missouri has next year.
Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone line on this National Signing Day. You're obviously extremely well-connected both with the recruits and your sources in coaching. The legacy of the scandal at Mizzou a few years ago with the protests, with the talk of race relations not being great, how much does that play a part with some of these inner-city and African-American kids?
Well, we never hear about it. Nobody ever says anything about it. I think it's kind of on the back burner. I am sure every coach that recruits against Missouri uses it and brings it up. It's just kind of there, but I've never had a kid say it really factored into a decision. Now, maybe it did, and he just doesn't want to say that out loud, you know. But and the further we get away from it, look, almost everyone involved with that in any way now is not at Missouri, whether it's leadership or regular students or football personnel or, frankly, even most of the players aren't here anymore.
Gabe, we just had Jeremy Macklin on right before you, and he talked about kind of like if he were trying to work through that. And he thought the protest had a significant impact on this class and moving forward, that he would want to be one of the guys changing that and working through it. It kind of surprised me. When you talk to them at all, I know you've at least thrown that question out there. There's none of the recruits say anything about the protest to you?
They really don't say it publicly, no. Now, look, everybody knows I'm a reporter. I'm not calling them just to talk to them about it. I'm calling them because I want to write a story. So, maybe they just don't want that out there publicly. And that's interesting what Jeremy said. You really see two kinds of kids get recruited. One kind of kid wants to jump on and say, boy, Alabama offered me, and they're always at the top, and I want to be a part of that. Another type of kid, Kim English always told us, I wanted to go somewhere that wasn't established because I wanted to be one of the guys that brought it back. I didn't want to join somebody on top. I wanted to help bring somebody to the top. And so you've got to find some of those kids. And, that's really up to Missouri's coaching staff to sell that.
Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com and Rivals.com, college football writer. Thanks so much, Gabe, for taking the time on what I know is a very busy day for you.
Yeah, hey, guys, if you got 30 seconds, I got to tell my Jeremy Macklin recruiting story.
Oh, yeah, let's do it for it.
Yeah.
Jeremy was committed to Oklahoma for a long time, obviously. And, like, I would see him. He was coming to Missouri games all the time. So we kind of knew it was there as a possibility. So I got a great picture. I don't even remember who it was, but they were playing a game on a Saturday afternoon. And I've got a great picture of Jeremy Macklin, who was committed to Oklahoma at the time, in a Mizzou sweatshirt, like, standing with his arms up cheering. But I knew I couldn't use it. I'm like, well, I know he's committed to Oklahoma. I can't put this out there. So finally, I held on to that picture for like 4 months and put it on our site. Finally, the day he switched.
Oh, that is incredible. And obviously, this is Gabe DeArmond. You guys know the Colonel works at, actually runs PowerMizzou.com. Probably the most informative. If you got to go look at something Mizzou, talk to Gabe. So, Gabe, thanks for hopping on. I know today's probably been crazy for you.
Hey, Gabe, before we let you go on this signing day, can you tell us a little bit about the recruit that was TJ Moe before we go?
He was singing
his praises for us before we came on. We just want to see if the stories match up.
TJ Moe is in my top three favorite recruits of all time.
Hey.
With Andrew Jones and Jamal Brooks now. And it's for purely selfish reasons because TJ was the kid at 17 years old who would text me at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night and go, hey, this kid's about to commit. Like, so I didn't need sources because TJ told me everything.
Okay, hey.
TJ wasn't involved.
Do you remember this, Gabe? I went to Columbia with Sheldon Richardson and Ronnie Wingo and whoever. I can't remember the
third. I do remember Jack that.
And you're like, hey, are you going to be around? I said, I got you, dude. I texted you probably 15 times that day. And like later on, people are, this was really before.
People asked me if I was hiding in the trunk of the car.
They're like, according to sources, Ronnie Wingo is leaving the athletic department right this second.
And hey, you're along with Andrew Jones, and we're on the radio in St. Louis, and look, statute of limitations has expired. You never did what Andrew did, which is his senior year when Missouri played in the Big 12 title game in San Antonio. He calls me the night before I'm leaving for San Antonio and says, hey, man, where should I hang out when I'm down in San Antonio for the game? And I just said, AJ, you're 17 and I'm 35 with two kids, man. We're not going to hang out in the same place.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, probably a wise decision. Yeah. What was TJ coming out, though? Was he about a half-star recruit? Or
the quarter-star?
TJ was kind of, he was gritty. he was a coach on the field. maybe a rough type.
So two-star, then. All
right. You know what, Gabe, actually, I remember you telling me this, Gabe. My senior year, normally they don't reevaluate your stars and all that, but my senior tape, we just sent it to Gabe for fun, and he sent it back into the National Rivals guys to have him reevaluate my stars because he liked the tape, and I think it was because I did that thing for Ronnie Wingo for him. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's because I cared at all how many stars you had, unless they were going to sell me another subscription. But, you know, I'm glad we did that for you.
Yeah. He's honest. Yeah. I love it, man.
Thanks so much, Gabe. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. See, have a good one.
Gabe DeArmond. Check his stuff out at PowerMizzou.com, Rivals.com. Again, cool. Mizzou's class, as of right now on Rivals.com, is currently ranked 46th.
Well, whatever.
With no 5-star recruits, 1 4-star recruit, and 17 3-star recruits. The 1 4-star recruit is also the one kid from the state of Missouri, Deron Davis, the Kansas City wide receiver.
Good interview, buddy.
That's less than ideal. Gabe's great. He's
awesome.
He hops on with Tim all the time. Him and
is
Tim.
Is he St. Louis?
No, he's in Columbia. But he,
is he from here?
No, I don't know where he's from. But he was a, him and Gabe, I think, were fraternity brothers. I think. And I know they went to journalism.
God, he was fraternity brothers with Tim? So he could probably corroborate those stories about the Del Taco down in Fulton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was with Tim, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yes. He knows all about his
I got some
children.
Questions. You should have told me that before the interview.
I don't know that the fraternity thing for a fact. I know they went to journalism school together at the same time and all that.
Yeah,
and they've been
I
boys.
Got questions
he comes
for him.
On all the time.
I got questions for him now.
Real quick before we go to break, guys. Breaking news from City Hall. Mike Falk reporting that the Scott Trade Center renovation bill has passed out of committee 5-3. Although he also tweets, the city comptroller remains opposed, saying despite improvement, it still puts the city at risk. So I guess now it will go to the full Board of Aldermen. They're also going to take up the MLS financing agreement tonight as well. So we've been doing a lot of City Hall news lately.
Man,
but that's
man.
Good news,
though,
that Scott
Absolutely.
Trade Center got out.
Absolutely.
So it's making its way through.
Yeah, that's a positive today.
Hey, Cam, I'm looking to do something for Mardi Gras.
You want to do something for Mardi Gras?
You got any good ideas for me?
You're damn right I do. Introducing the Kitchen Pass at the Cajun Cook-Off, presented by Mardi Gras, Inc., inside STL and 590 The Fan, to exclusively offer this to our listeners. On Saturday, February 11th at Soulard Market Park from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., this is a unique experience for 40 listeners to get inside and experience into behind-the-scenes and STL dining. Hang out and watch local culinary wizards Tom Schmidt, Mike Johnson, Mike Emerson, and more to demo their culinary skills and sample their food before the public can. This includes a premium open bar featuring Jim Beam, Effin' Vodka, Hornitos Tequila, Barefoot Bubbly, Bloody Mary Mix, which I love, and Tim Lorson's private stash of damn good whiskey for sampling and only to enjoy in the kitchen. Purchase tickets now on InsideSTL.com.
This sounds like an event we
Dude,
need to
I'm
be
going,
at.
Man.
Yeah, we have to be there. It might not be great for TJ, but yeah.
Oh, he's going too because he's driving.
Well, that's right. We do need to be there.
That's why he comes.
We will be there. That's
such an ass.
Well, plus, no, it's
Oh, yeah. My bad. Damn it, TJ.
I didn't say it. You did.
Damn it, TJ.
Ken Hitchcock out as the Blues coach, and Mike Yeo is in. Andy Strickland, ringside reporter of the St. Louis Blues, will join us next. It's the Line Change, driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, 590
Nightmare.
The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, inside STL.com.